wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat in the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following them. It's been a few weeks since we've been looking through Mark. We've now come to the last chapter. Verse 6 said, "And he said unto them, Be not afraid, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." At the end of chapter 15, we saw that Jesus, having been crucified, his body was claimed by Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the Sanhedrin. But Joseph was absent when the Sanhedrin gathered together to condemn Jesus. With the help of Nicodemus, Jesus' body was wrapped in fine linen and laid to rest in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of rock. A stone was then rolled across the entrance of the sepulchre. We read that standing at a distance were the two Marys and Salome. They watched where Jesus was buried. All this had taken place before the Sabbath on the Friday, which brings us to the message for today, the resurrection of Jesus. The Sabbath over, Mary, the two Marys, came to the tomb, we read, early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose above the horizon, with spices that they had bought, so that they may anoint the body of Jesus. They knew it would not be easy. They knew that they faced a problem. They had seen the stone being rolled across the mouth of the tomb. What they may not have known was that there was also soldiers guarding the tomb, and there was a seal placed on the door. And we read that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66. "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver. He said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. We're told the two Marys went to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, as early as possible. I presume we're not all early risers. A few weeks ago, Jonathan, in one of his messages, used the phrase, What would the Lord desire of me today? Even though we may not all be early risers, as the sun comes across the horizon, what a good way to start our day considering what the Lord desires of us for the day. It will be a good control as we go through the day, as we consider what God desires of us. The ladies, they did not ask for help. They knew the stone was there. And as they approached the sepulchre in the early morning sunshine, they mused amongst themselves the need to have that stone removed. Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? In their action, they showed love and faith. It was a custom to anoint the body of the dead before burial. They did not see this happen, and because of their love for Jesus, they felt obliged to carry out this service. They knew about the stone, but they did not ask for help. Their desire, what was important to them, was to anoint the body of Jesus. And so they went, believing that they would be able to do that which they desired for the Lord Jesus. Their fear regarding the stone was needless. They approached the obstacle trusting. There is a saying that God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. God knows our hearts and he knows our needs. And sometimes, and I emphasize sometimes, he answers our prayers even before we utter them. When they arrived at the tomb, they saw that the great stone had already been rolled away. Let us, and I say us, not be cast down when faced with obstacles. Let us keep moving forward, trusting that the Lord knows our hearts and our desires, and if it is according to his will, then he will answer those prayers that have not even been uttered. They were shocked, frightened, surprised on entering the tomb to find a young man dressed in a white robe sitting in the tomb. If we have put our trust in Christ, we need not be afraid of an angel's appearance. Rather, we should be joyful. The angel gave them the best news that they could have imagined. He told them, You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. In John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, we read, Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. And then in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we read, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus Christ showed that. Since he has risen, he is able to rise and to give new life to others. The ladies no longer need be afraid. They were given some reassuring instruction. They were to go and tell his disciples and Peter. Remember, Peter had declared to the servant girl that he did not know Jesus, and Jesus had turned and looked at him. unless you have experienced the guilt of letting down a friend and have to face them, we cannot begin to understand or know what Peter felt. But the Lord knew his heart and singled him out by name to impart the good news: Jesus Christ is alive. There is a danger that when we as believers are faced with obstacles, and as Peter was, then we, like Peter, may also stumble for a moment. But a gracious and loving Savior stretches out his hands to us. He is willing to set us on our feet once more. We need only repent, ask forgiveness, and take hold of his hands. If Christ is willing to forgive us, may we always be willing to forgive others with the help of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Jesus, now risen, had gone before the disciples to Galilee. They were reminded that Jesus had told them this before his death, as he said unto you. And in Mark 14:28 we read, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." We can't begin to imagine the mixed emotions, joy, surprise, as the Marys left the tomb in a hurry. We are told they did not say anything to anyone because they were afraid. However, we know that they told Peter as instructed, and John. In John 20:3 we read, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." After telling Peter and John the angel's message, Mary went back to the tomb, and we have the first resurrection appearance of Jesus. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. However, she did not recognize him until he spoke her name. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Imagine the excitement and the joy that has filled Mary's heart as she went to tell the disciples, who were still mourning and weeping. The angel had told her that Jesus has risen from the dead. Now she had seen the risen Jesus for herself. The fact of the resurrection of Jesus is central to the Christian faith. It is the assurance, the guarantee, that God accepted Jesus' death as the penalty for the sins of others. It also means that we serve not a dead hero, but a living Savior. Sadly, his disciples did not believe her. They failed to accept the good news. One could say that little has changed. There is a great need amongst mankind. There is much mourning and weeping. Sadly, many fail to realize that though they may have a physical need which is great, there is a greater need, a need to satisfy their spiritual hunger. As a result, they do not appreciate or understand the sacrifice of Jesus. Like the disciples, they do not believe the good news that Jesus gave his life so that their spiritual hunger, need, can be satisfied. Verse 12 and 13. In these two verses, we have further proof that Jesus, who was dead, has risen from the dead. Later, Jesus appeared to the two disciples walking in the country. Many of us know the story, on the road to Emmaus. When the two disciples told the other disciples, they did not believe them either. It is interesting that not even the disciples believe that Jesus would be raised from the dead, although he had told them several times. A lesson possibly for us? The disciples had lived with Jesus for 3 years, or approximately. They had heard his words, yet at first they failed to believe. Let us consider for a moment our own position. Have we put our trust in Jesus? Yes?
Yeah.
Are we risen with Christ?
Yeah.
Yes? Then let us never weary in proclaiming the good news which brings us to Jesus' commission. Later, Jesus appeared to 11, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Praise the Lord. We've said that we put our faith in him. Praise the Lord for the day when our unbelief changed to belief and our hardness of heart changed to gentleness and love. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus Christ initiated the process by his sacrifice. In preparation for his return to his heavenly home, he passed the baton to the disciples. He gave them the great commission. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In order that God's desire might continue to be proclaimed, the baton has now been passed unto all who by faith have experienced the grace of God. We who were once unbelievers, sinners, disobedient, enemies of God, but now adopted sons of God, are called upon to be involved in the work of God, to declare the truth we ourselves once rejected. In verse 15 we read, the preaching of the gospel would result in either salvation or condemnation. Some would believe and be baptized and saved. Some would disbelieve and be condemned. Belief. Those who believe. That is, they have an inward trust in Christ. Put in worldly terms, it could be likened to a contract between the individual and God. The individual accepting that the penalty for his or her sins have been paid by the sacrifice of Jesus, accepted by God in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is not a legal requirement, but it could be considered a fruit of one's faith. Having put our trust in God, then the fruit of our trust is shown forth. A public declaration that the individual has by faith accepted that which is freely offered. Freedom from the punishment deserved for our sins. It is worth noting that baptism is not mentioned in the second clause. Why? Condemnation is the result of unbelief. Belief removes condemnation. John 3 and verse 18, "He that believeth on him, the Son, is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him, the Son, is condemned." Baptism follows faith and was practiced by all believers at the beginning. Verse 17 and 18 tells us that signs would follow those who believe. The signs listed are casting out of demons. You could see that in Acts 8:7. Speaking in new tongues, Acts 2:4. Picking up poisonous snakes, incident with Paul in Acts chapter 28. Drinking poison without harm and healing the sick. These signs raise questions. One of which is, do these signs exist today? And another, why don't all believers exhibit these signs? There is evidence that some of these signs do exist today. However, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." The signs, as listed, were given specifically to the disciples to confirm, to authenticate that they were Jesus' true apostles. Remember, this was something new. They were going out preaching the gospel. These signs were given so that what they said was authenticated by the miracles, the signs that they were able to perform. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." As we ponder these truths, let's remember first that the signs were given to confirm the message and the messengers. And second, the Spirit distributes gifts as he will. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks of a greater gift, charity, love. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. For 2 days after Jesus' resurrection, our Lord and Savior was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, the place of honor and power. His ascension signified that his mission on earth had been successfully completed, and God highly exalted him at his own right hand and given him a name which is above every name. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Mark finishes his message with the Lord assisting his disciples in obedience to his command as they went forth preaching the gospel and winning men for the Savior. The power of the Lord was with them. The promised signs accompanied their preaching, confirming the word they spoke. Today, we are entrusted with that great commission in our generation. We are to be faithful and obedient in proclaiming the gospel by our lips and by our lives. One example is when we gather around the Lord's table, remembering what he has done for us and what he expects of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord has gone to glory, having completed his task. He has prepared the way back from the dark path of sin, and there are many who yet walk in darkness and cannot see the way. He is in heaven physically, yet spiritually with his servants, as they seek to spread the good news of his salvation. May we all be found busy spreading the good news of his return. Amen.